From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Michael Cohen is a songwriter and the frontman for the Seattle-based indie rock band Campfire OK. I caught up with Michael during a tour stop in Lancaster when he was the opening act for the rock band Anne Berlin on their summer acoustic tour. Along with writing, recording, and touring as a rock musician, Michael writes music for film and television. He explained how he got into the business by literally asking the world.
Done all these random jobs. And like a year and a half ago, I just decided that I didn't want to do it anymore. And I quite literally posted on Facebook, "Does anyone need music for film or television?" And I had a friend who works for a production company get a hold of me. He was like, "I do."
Coming up, it's Michael Cohen from Campfire OK, talking about his music and some of the work he has done with filmmaker Christian Sorensen Hansen. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Coming up this week, we're proud to be partnering with the Hans Herrhaus to bring you the second show in the Music in the Orchard Summer Concert Series. On Saturday night, July 14th, we welcome the sweet harmonies of folk rockers Indian Summer Jars, along with the rollicking Celtic sounds of Fire in the Glen. The concert starts at 6 p.m. on the grounds of the historic Hans Herrhaus in Willow Street, Pennsylvania. Admission is $5 for adults. Kids under 12 are free. Visit hansher.org and click events to learn more about the concerts and all of the events happening at Lancaster's oldest historic home. Around the Wood Stove is brought to you in part by Lemon Street Market at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster. For convenient access to locally produced, fresh and healthy groceries and environmentally sustainable products, visit Lemon Street Market today. If you're in a rush, no problem. Lemon Street Market has on-site parking and a variety of locally sourced and prepared ready-to-eat meals. If you'd rather take your time and relax, the market has indoor and outdoor seating and features the new Herd of Turtles Cafe that offers coffees, teas, and other drinks along with assorted items for breakfast. Lemon Street Market is Lancaster's healthy grocer, fresh, local, and friendly. Featuring regional and world-sourced foods for your complete shopping experience, visit Lemon Street Market at 241 West Lemon Street in Lancaster or online at lemonstreetmarket.com.
Boy, here's your life in a bag. Take it back. Say goodbye to my back. Out of this house of booze, I know you'll laugh, smile and smirk, wave goodbye, but I don't turn. So take that, I hope it hits you. I'm not old, I know it shows. Compromise that you've been waiting for. See the fun, there it goes. While we drink these drinks, no, I don't smile, I don't smirk. Wave goodbye, but I don't turn. So take that.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is Seattle musician and songwriter Michael Cohen. Michael is the frontman of the indie rock band Campfire OK, whose debut album, Strange Like We Are, highlights the percussive and very dynamic nature of Cohen's songwriting style. I was fortunate to have a chance to chat with Michael here in Lancaster during a solo summer tour that he's been on with the rock band Anne Berlin. Well, joining me at the Candy Factory in downtown Lancaster, Pennsylvania, it's Michael Cohen from Seattle, Washington.
Yes, hello.
Welcome to Lancaster.
Thank you.
Michael is touring solo with Anne Berlin right now on an Anne Berlin acoustic tour, and in town to play a show tonight at the Chameleon Club. We're very excited to have you in our town.
Thank you so much. Excited to be here.
How did that come about, this 2 or 3 week tour with Anne Berlin?
I know the Anne Berlin guys by happenstance, strangely enough. I met their drummer at a coffee shop. Melody, my backup vocalist, or co-vocalist. We mm-hmm. were at a coffee shop in Seattle, and this guy walks out and he goes, "Hey, I know you." And we were like, "Cool, what's up?" And he's like, "Oh, I just saw one of your videos earlier today." And I was like, "Oh, that's awesome. I hope you liked it." And he's like, "Ah, I liked it a lot." And so we start talking, and turns out one of my friends, this guy named Jordan Butcher, who's a graphic designer, who is Anne Berlin's graphic designer, he showed Nate Young, Anne Berlin's drummer, one of our videos, and he liked it. And then randomly, a couple hours later,
there
Nate
you are.
Saw us sitting in a coffee shop. And so Nate, Melody, and I spoke for a while, and just, it was like 15-minute conversation, had a good time. And then he told me that he played in Anne Berlin. And I was like, "Oh, that's so funny. Such a strange, tiny world." So then fast forward about 8 months-ish, maybe 9 months, they were going to be in town because their producer, Aaron Sprinkle, lives in Seattle.
Okay.
And they were doing all pre-production in Seattle. And Aaron Sprinkle is a friend of mine and a fan of Campfire OK. And so I just would go into the studio with Anne Berlin and just hang out while they were working and just goof off. And we became friends. And
Nate.
Yeah, it was very cool. And turns out that Anne Berlin really likes Campfire OK, which is really great. And so that's how we know each other. And
had you been playing solo prior to Campfire?
No.
Okay. So this is really kind of a new...
Oh, yeah, 100% new. I actually have made it a point never to play solo shows, which is strange.
Unless, of course, a tour comes along. That...
Yeah, and like this was such a cool opportunity.
Yeah, right.
Like, get to hang out with these guys that I really admire and that are friends of mine and get to travel a part of the country that I'd never been to.
Yeah.
That I had to say yes.
Yeah.
So...
So some of the other things that you do before we get into Campfire OK
mm-hmm.
Is audio branding.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Just
yeah,
sort of that work and what that's like?
Mm-hmm. I do audio branding, and I also write music for film and television. Obviously, writing music for film and television is a very simple, straightforward idea. You know, if someone comes to me and has a 40-second commercial... They tell me what kind of music they want, and I write for it. Like, I've worked with Levi's a number of times and done music for their commercials. Have done some music for video games and such like that.
Okay.
Audio branding is a really interesting concept that has been around forever, but no one ever thinks of it. It's literally just like graphic design branding with... music.
Yeah.
You know, think of NBC.
NBC. Right.
You know, you think of the NBC and you hear that.
Yeah.
You know, so that is audio branding. And what I do is people will come to me with, you know, their company and their slogan and all that stuff. And I write music to brand their company.
That's interesting.
It is very interesting.
Because, no, you don't think... I mean, you think of branding in color.
Yeah.
Two-dimensional color, print...
Absolutely.
Graphics, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I can hear Intel.
Yep.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, it's those things... Sounds like NBC, in a way.
Yeah, everyone chooses that interval. It's a great interval.
It's like 1-4-5, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In rock and roll.
Yep.
That's... So it's beyond jingles.
Absolutely.
It's like it's the that little tag, that little...
Yeah. It is actually, it is the essence of a jingle.
Oh, that's very interesting work. How'd you get into it?
I got very lucky.
Yeah. Did one and then...
Yeah. I I literally just asked the world. I was working at cafes. I was a bike mechanic. I was a coffee roaster. All this stuff. Done all these random jobs. I was a mortgage broker. And like a year and a half ago, I just decided that I didn't want to do it anymore. And I quite literally posted on Facebook, "Does anyone need music for film or television?" And I had a friend who works for a production company get a hold of me. He was like, "I do." And that was my first Levi's gig. So my first job was writing music for a Levi's commercial. So I got extremely lucky. And with that, opportunity sort of just presented itself.
But you have to have that conversation, right? Yes. You have to start the conversation to know the opportunities that were around you the whole time.
Yeah.
You had that friend prior to
that. Yeah, and I got really lucky, too. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not all luck. I do work very hard at making these connections. One time, I was actually working at the cafe still, and this guy was sitting in my section, and he was talking to some dude about, you know, some artistic stuff, and I knew that he was in the film industry, and I could just feel it. And when he paid, I looked on his credit card, and it said Tri Films Productions, and I was like, "Aha, I'm gonna get a hold of this guy." And when I got off work, he was sitting at a coffee shop next door, and I literally just walked up to him, and I was like, "You know what? I know I was your server, but I noticed that you run a production company." I said, "I write music for film and television. I'd love to work with you." And a month later, he hired me, and I've worked on a number of jobs with him now.
That's awesome.
It's very cool.
That's a great story.
So it's half luck, half putting yourself out there to get the luck. And, you know, well, I guess not half and half. But it's
right, but
luck, opportunity, and the ability to recognize when you have an opportunity and take it.
Yeah.
My open mouth catching flies as I walk down hills toward your house at an ever-breaking speed, duly recognized by the American public at home watching TV. Face hits the ground as I fall down. Been so long since I have felt this way towards anyone else. If I could only tell you about all the days that I have thought of you and me, and talk to all of smiles, magic tricks, and
that's Magic Tricks by Campfire OK on Around the Wood Stove. My guest today is Campfire OK frontman and songwriter Michael Cohen. Let's switch gears to the band.
Sure.
So I was introduced to your work through Campfire OK,
mm-hmm.
And particularly through some video work that we'll talk about in a little while.
Yeah.
But that led to me getting a copy of the first album, the debut album, which it's going back now, right? It's 2010.
2011.
Oh, it was? Okay.
February 2011.
Anyway, the album itself really struck me right away.
Thank you.
And the elements that I sort of take away from the whole album is its percussiveness.
Yes.
It's such a percussive album. Even when there are instruments being played that aren't necessarily percussive instruments, mm-hmm. right? You've got drums and piano and everything is sort of, it's keeping beats.
Yeah, it's pulsing, yeah.
Really cool.
Thank you.
And a variety of instrumentation. So let's talk about the genesis of this band,
mm-hmm.
and all the different elements that go into it.
Yeah, the genesis of the band is really interesting because I was working with this drummer named David on songs, and it was just him and I, me playing piano and singing, him on drums, and obviously piano is a string instrument, but it's also a percussion instrument because there are hammers that hit the strings. Right. So that's where that percussive sound comes from. And him and I actually went and recorded 11 songs in the studio. And I essentially produced it. I have a friend, Mike Squires, who plays in Duff McKagan's Loaded and has played in Harvey Danger and President of the United States and is all around a great producer. He'd worked with us on these songs, and we finished 11 songs, which I think seven of them are on the record.
Okay.
And it was still just me and David, and I needed to find more people to play these songs live. And in a really sort of weird time, I picked up Andrew, who is our banjo / trumpet / guitar player, because he played trumpet on the record, and lost David, the drummer. So it was me, Andrew, who's still in the band, and Garrett from this band called Coco and the Sweetmeats playing bass, and my friend Britt singing, and no drummer. And
so you go from a drum piano band, essentially, yeah, to no drummer.
To no drummer. And all in the meanwhile, I was still writing songs. And I felt that these songs were better suited for a record than some of the other songs that I had recorded. Went back into the studio with no drummer, and actually had our engineer, Don Gunn, play drums on our record. And it was very fly by the seat of our pants. Like, I walked in there with a song, I played the song on whatever instrument I wrote it on, and then sat behind the control board, and Don went into to the drum room. And, you know, I was like, all right, Don, this is what I'm thinking. And it's like, bom, 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 like, whatever. And I just literally sang him the drum parts that I was thinking. And he would play them.
Are these the tracks that are on the record?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a great drummer.
Oh, my God. He's an amazing drummer. Both those drummers were fantastic drummers.
Well, you were set it up like he's an engine, you know. And yeah. I was feeling like, oh, well, this guy was just sort of laying down scratch tracks or something.
Oh, no, he's amazing. He's a professional drummer. Okay. Absolutely. So we started playing shows, hadn't released the record, and then I met Brandon, our drummer. Brandon joined the band after we gave him the record, and he, luckily for me, was a fan of the music.
Okay.
So that's how we acquired Brandon. So it was me, Andrew, Brandon, and then we started a choir. And Melody was in the choir. The other female vocalist in the band quit because she has a child and a husband and a real job, and we were getting too busy, and she was like, I don't have time to do this.
Right.
And so there was Melody, and Melody joined the band.
That's a crazy story.
It is, yeah, it's so convoluted.
You are the fire, and I'm the moth you see at night. Flown through the window to catch a glimpse of a light. I know, faithful this far. Our complementing parts aren't far out of. Closer that I get, more weight off my chest. Gravity, the pull and release. With you underneath, I would fall a million feet. I would fall just to see your face. Can't risk to not be
That's a song called Complementing Parts from Campfire OK's debut album Strange Like We Are on Around the Wood Stove. At the Wood Stove House, we love to hear from you. If you have any ideas about the show, please drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com. Now back to my conversation with Michael Cohen from Campfire OK.
The dynamics that you captured on that album really make it interesting for the listener.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
It's bombastic,
yeah.
And it's quiet.
Yeah.
Then it explodes again.
Yeah.
All with that sort of tribal backbeat. So
cool.
It's a great record.
Thank you very much.
A couple of the songs that I wanted to ask you about. Mm-hmm. We'll start just at the very beginning. We Lay in Caves is the opening track, and it eases the listener into the album.
Yeah.
And really, really picks up on energy. Can you talk about that song for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a really interesting song for me, because it literally just came out of nowhere. I remember being on a run one day, and I just started thinking of the lyrics, which is very atypical for me. Normally, music comes first, and then lyrics come afterwards. But this started with the lyrics, and then I remember sitting down at the piano and playing three chords, and thinking, I really like those. And those three chords are the entire song. There is no chord change in that song aside from those three chords. So that's what makes it really interesting for me as well, because typically I write where a chorus is very, you know, distinct from the verse. So, you know, that song really did just come out of nowhere and was such a weird vision. And then, you know, obviously it started just on piano and drums. Then bringing all the other instrumentation into it was an experiment for me.
How much did these players bring to the table versus what you composed? Okay.
I mean, they brought a huge amount into the record because they played instruments that I couldn't play.
Ah.
I can't play trumpet.
Yeah.
And... you know, working with other people is an amazing sort of magical thing. Essentially how it would go is I'm the director.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, specifically remember that song. Andrew and I were sitting in my room where I recorded most everything aside from the basics. And we're both like, well, in this, I want you to imagine that your trumpet is a guitar and you're playing in Led Zeppelin and you're on drugs. And he was like, okay. And I was like, I don't want you to have any form for anything. I was like, I want you to do the thing that is least comfortable to you and the most experimental. And that's how that trumpet part came out. I didn't play it. I didn't even think of it. All I did was direct him on where to go.
Friends, this company of words is a whore. We're set to crawl. Order to escape these walls, down this path of dirt and cobbled stone. On the other side, the light hits our eyes. Set them afire.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. That was a song called We Lay in Caves by my guest Michael Cohen with his band Campfire OK.
The title track to this record, Strange Like We Are,
yeah.
I was first introduced to this on the live video.
Oh,
that
KEXP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so different from the album version.
Totally.
I was just looking at it again this week, and I've gotten so used to the album version now.
Yeah.
So I go back to the video version, and
yeah,
you know, I like them both in different ways.
Yeah, they're totally different.
And was that melody that's just sort of floating around on the video?
Yeah, yeah.
Was he taking pictures or something? Or?
Yeah, she wasn't even in the band at the point.
Right, because there was a I recognized the other woman,
Brit. Yeah,
who you must have. Yeah,
yeah. That was before, and the person playing bass is Garrett from Coco and the Sweetmeats.
Okay,
so we hadn't even yet been a solid band.
Wow.
Everyone is just along for the ride.
That's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the album version of the song, the part that really stands out to me is the breakdown.
The ending?
Yeah. It's huge in the chorus, yeah. And then it comes way down.
Totally.
The banjo and then the trumpet. And
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. And the lyrics.
Sure.
Although absolutely. I have no idea what the song is about.
That's okay.
And there's...
I'd love... Actually, will you tell me what you think it's about?
I have no idea.
No idea?
Oh. No. I don't bring meaning to songs.
I gotcha.
I try not to,
yeah.
Anyway. I'm more of a music person.
Me too.
Like, I'm a melody person and a rhythm person, more yeah. so than a lyrical person. Some lyrics I just strike me.
Yeah.
Like the line about the warm sheets...
Freshly pressed sheets, yeah. That was one of my first songs that I started to write lyrics to abstract thoughts.
Okay.
That weren't focused on me. They were about other things. And I was learning how to do it better than I could before. I didn't really learn how to write about other people until that song,
okay.
Essentially. And that song is actually about a hospital. And normally I don't like to talk about what songs are about, but everyone asks about this song. And
okay.
Everyone says, oh, it's about being a hipster in Seattle. And it's not at all, but it's about being in a hospital. Not personally, but it's about the people who work at hospitals. I was just starting to think how crazy of a life that must be.
Wow.
Like, you know, doctors or nurses, they are in hospitals for such an extended period of time. Because, you know, they go into a hospital and it might be 2 p.m. and they don't get out until 2 p.m. the next day.
Right.
And they're in these weird colors. It's all pastels. Everything is like this strange muted hue of some other color. And I just kept thinking how weird it would be to live that life. All we see are blue pastels and deep V-neck. So why don't we go somewhere we all know where everyone we meet is strange like we are?
That's the title track from the debut album Strange Like We Are by Campfire OK on Around the Wood Stove. Frontman Michael Cohen and the band have done extensive work with Seattle filmmaker Christian Sorensen Hansen. who's also worked with The Head and the Heart and Brian John Appleby.
I want to talk about specifically about a video that I'm assuming came afterwards then. Mm-hmm. And that is the video shot live at Oddfellows Cafe.
Yes. Yeah.
So what an incredibly cool idea.
Thanks.
And tell me the story. For listeners, these will all be posted on the show post, so people can go and watch these videos. But there's the video opens with you know, just some random shots around the cafe and a barista making a drink, chatter. And then all of a sudden here comes this band walking in, acoustic instruments, walking while playing, all wearing white shirts, and take over a table. Literally stand on the table while there are people there in the on the table or sitting at the table enjoying their meal.
Yeah.
And perform this song acoustic.
Yeah.
It was just one of those moments. It's like flash mob or something where you're just kind of like, wow, wouldn't that be cool to have been sitting there? Yeah. And here comes this band. Except for one guy who's got gray hair, who's just totally not paying attention.
I love it.
And he's just sitting there eating. Did you see him take a bite of his
salad?
Oh,
yeah. It's the most hilarious thing to me. I love that part. I love how he's not interested.
Talk about that. How did it come about? Where did that come from?
Yeah. I was thinking about mariachi bands, to be honest with you.
Well, how?
And because I grew up in Arizona, of course I would think of a mariachi band. And I was just thinking, God, that's so great to just be able to walk into a place. And then I was thinking a flash mob. It was the two combined.
Okay.
You know, a mariachi band comes into a restaurant, plays a song, blah, 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 and everyone's, oh, good job, here's a dollar. It was like, wow, that's such a cool idea. No one ever does that.
Right.
And then I was thinking of a flash mob, how it's just such a surprise. And we couldn't play shows because we were about to release the record. We were on a little bit of a blackout, and they call it a drought. You have to create a drought in wherever you live, usually, before you release a record, so that when you put out your record and you play your release show, people go to the show. And I was like, well, that's cool and all, but I don't want to not play.
Yeah.
And so we started playing these takeaway shows all around the city.
Oh, okay.
We had done 6 or 7 of them, actually.
How long would you play when you show up?
We'd do one song and leave.
Okay.
Yep. And some of them were huge successes. And some of them were complete failures. And that's the thing, is like, you really have no idea what's going to happen. You don't know if someone's going to kick you out. You don't know if people are going to be excited to see you there. You don't know if people are going to boo at you. And so you get the craziest, like, most diverse reactions. We got kicked out of one place. One place was so loud that no one could hear anything. And it was like we were just standing there. And it was awesome because we learned a lot. And then we decided to do that one at Oddfellows.
Okay.
And Christian wanted to film it. And Christian likes adrenaline, as we all do. And so I decided that we were going to go in there unannounced. We told the staff because we didn't want to get kicked out, because that was not fun when it happened. But we didn't tell them we were filming it, and we didn't tell them we were standing on their tables.
Okay.
And no one in the audience knew whatsoever.
Only the staff.
Only the staff. And the owner did not know that we were doing it either. It was only the people working that day. And so, you know, I was hooked up. I had a lapel mic and my guitar was plugged in. And we had someone set a wireless recorder where we were going to be standing. Like, Christian and I mapped out every move of what we were going to do. So we'd gone in there a couple of days ahead and, like, listened to the song and timed out when I was supposed to turn a corner.
Okay.
At what point in the song I was supposed to walk up onto the benches and where he was going to be at. So we mapped that all out. And, you know, it was only one take.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I assume that.
Yeah.
You know, as a viewer, what's the first question? It's like when you watch a magician, you know, you want to know how.
Yeah.
The first question is, well, was it staged?
Not staged.
Did the people at least eating at that table, did they know? No, apparently not. Did you have any resistance from band members when you wanted to start doing this?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everyone was like, that's a really cool idea, but that makes me really uncomfortable.
I could imagine it.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable to do that. But it is an amazing thing.
It was well shot. You did a great job with the whole...
Christian's fantastic.
Yeah.
He just has this eye.
Speaking of, a video that was not your song...
Yeah.
...or Campfire OK was Cliffs Along the Sea.
Yep.
Which was another very striking video on a boat.
Yeah.
And you're rowing a boat, and is it Brian John Appleby is
Brian
singing.
Yep.
So the biggest question we had, which I actually know the answer to now, was how he got around the boat, because it's one shot. Yep. Was it one? It was one take.
One take, absolutely.
And the camera is like moving around and capturing all sides of this boat.
Mm-hmm.
I learned in the comments on Vimeo. I was looking through the comments. He explained that they were in a canoe. But what a masterful! What are they called? Canoeist?
Oh yeah, this guy Ryan Enkema, who is also a filmmaker. He was rowing the boat that Christian was in.
Okay.
And he was amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I read that those guys were in a canoe.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Oh, it's nuts. And I can't row a boat to save my life. As you can tell by the video. I literally look scared in that video because I don't know how to turn. Like, I had never rowed a boat in my life. That was the first time I did it. And on top of rowing the boat, I had to sing harmonies to a song that wasn't mine,
right?
While rowing the boat, but
it turned out really well.
Turned out great.
There's a mood. There's a mood that's captured.
Yeah.
That is so. It's just beautiful. Is the only word I can think to describe. There's a mood. The colors and the way that the video is shot.
It's a great video. It is a really great video.
If you could, in just a few sentences, summarize why it is that you create, why it is that you make music.
I have no other choice. Literally, I know that that was the first sentence that came to my mind, and it's the honest truth.
Thank you so much for taking time.
My pleasure.
Welcome to Lancaster. I hope you have a wonderful show tonight at the Chameleon Club. Grateful that you took some time to talk with us.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
And you got me amazing coffee.
Well, enjoy it.
I will.
Yeah, and good luck on the rest of the tour.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Visit Campfire OK online at campfireok.com and look for a new album from the band coming soon. To learn more about Michael's work in film and television, visit his personal website at michaelcohen.com, or you can link up from our website, woodstovehouse.com. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program, subscribe to the show, or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post. Give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.